that's the heart of it, but I don't,
Lock
you know,
Talk Radio.
I'm just looking at my block. Minds on stuff. Why can't we just allow Indiana to have their law, which is, by the way, does not mention gay people, and it is also not directed, as far as I know, it's not directed. There's a number of states that have the same law, and I think Connecticut's got one of these laws, but they're not going to miss out on a chance to turn this into propagandize it. It's a crazy time to be alive. I mean, if we're going to be in favor of increasingly changing the social code and following the sex revolution to its logical conclusion, why not let people in other if we're in so into liberty, why don't you let other people use their liberty? You know, and I understand that nobody would want a state to enact slavery in the name of liberty, but that's number one, that's a total contradiction. Number two, we're not headed in that direction. We're headed in the opposite way. All right, here's Kevin Zolli. Kevin Zolli about not coaching.
We're concerned about it, as were our members. The law itself has a lot of...
This is Mark Emmert, but this is why I disagree with turning this stuff into... Mark Emmert's the head of the NCAAs. I disagree with taking stuff that people haven't had a time to study and digest and immediately turning it into a national pinata instead of having a debate over it. You've just got to shut this state down and make everybody who lives there look like an idiot.
President Emmert, what was your interpretation of the law?
Well, I was deeply concerned about it, as were our members. The law itself has a lot of uncertainty and obviously lacks clarity, but anything that could potentially allow for discrimination and works in a way that's inconsistent with our values for inclusion is something that we're very, very concerned about.
What kind of adjustments would you want to see legislators make to the law?
Well, I can't speak to that. I'm not a legislator or a lawyer, but I do know that from my personal vantage point, we simply have to operate our events and conduct our affairs in an environment that reflects the core values of what higher education is about, what our universities and college members care about, and that's an environment that celebrates diversity and provides for a very inclusive, supportive environment. And right now, we're not sure that we have that.
Where does the NCAA stand as to whether or not to repeal it rather than actually see it be tweaked?
Well, again, I'm going to leave that up to legislators. There's a lot of debate going on in the state right now. I have to say that what I've seen and what others have seen and heard over the past few days hasn't changed our level of concern. In many ways, it's just added more to the questions of what needs to occur here. And it does clearly need to be addressed, whether it's a repeal or whether it's some language change that makes it self-evident that there's not a discriminatory practices that can be condoned under this model is going to be a decision they have to make, but they need to deal with it.
Governor Pence told ABC News, that he spoke with you. What was said?
Well, I've spoken to him, I've spoken to the Speaker of the House, I've spoken to the mayor, and in each of those opportunities, I've expressed the concerns that we have, both as an employer here in Indiana, but more importantly, as a representative of all of our 1,100 college and university members, about any environment that doesn't allow us to pursue our core values, and that includes being very inclusive and very diverse. That's something that we hold near and dear, and we're going to make sure that we can always do that. They've indicated their...
This guy sounds like an absolute PC robot. What is he blabbering about? You can't include everything, every human decision. You cannot include every single idea. You can't be that inclusive. So, I mean, this is so, to me, it's ridiculous to get the head of the NCAA's involved in this supposed fight over this gay ban, which is not even a gay ban. Not even to mention the most ridiculous part of this is Connecticut has its own Religious Freedom Act.
Their commitment to trying to clarify this bill in the Speaker of the House's words and in the governor's words. And I and everyone else awaits that clarification. Right now, we haven't seen it. The mayor is being extremely supportive of the association. He has personally expressed his concerns and displeasure with this law. The city right now has a city ordinance that protects the civil liberties of people based on gender preferences, and that is still the law of the land. This law that was passed, fortunately, doesn't go into effect until July, so there's a little bit of time before it goes into effect, but it does need to be addressed.
President Emmert, Michigan State President Luanna Simon told me in Syracuse on Sunday that she wanted to know how much in advance did the NCAA know that this law potentially going to how much lobbying would the NCAA to try to prevent it?
Yeah, we'd expressed our displeasure with it, and frankly, I was really surprised that it passed and that it was signed into law, and especially as quickly as it occurred. There had been an anti-gay marriage law that was being debated last year. We'd opposed that and made sure that everyone again understood that that was completely inconsistent with the values of the NCAA. And so I thought that everybody thought that this would take.
Question, what are the values of the NCAA when they don't even investigate Jameis Winston for this rape? And they completely sweep it under the rug, and then they allow him to get the Heisman Trophy. That's totally ridiculous. I mean, I don't want to. Anyway, I'm opposed to this showboating and this propaganda, 523-1450, of the president of the NCAA turning the this Final Four into this crusade against this law that doesn't even mention gays. And you know, why can't Indiana pass its own law? I mean, anyway, I just, oh God. All right. Here is Vince Gill. Vince Gill was a very talented musician, and he was such a good guitar player that Dire Straits tried to get him to join. And he said, I think I'll stick with country music. Here he is with Patti Loveless, singing a song, Go Rest High on That Mountain, at the George Jones funeral. But this is a song that Vince Gill wrote for his own brother who had died. So 620 Kelly O'Connell Show, we will be back, 523-1450. Hey, if you're in favor of what the NCAAs are doing and you're opposed to that law, please call in. Let's give an opposing opinion here. We'll be right back, though. It's KOBE, Kelly O'Connell, April 1st.
Brother George taught us all how to sing with a broken heart, better than anybody that ever lived. And I personally am grateful he nicknamed me Sweet Pea. At first, I wasn't so sure about it, but anytime I would go anywhere and somebody would call me Sweet Pea, I knew why, because they loved George Jones. And the great thing is every time somebody calls me Sweet Pea, I'll get to think of the man. And it was great to hear Keith talk about Patty's record of If My Heart Had Windows. That's the first time Patty and I ever sang together, was on that record. And I've always...
All right, so that's obviously a dedication for this this song and George Jones, so we're... I'll give you a little bit of Go Rest High in That Mountain. But anyway, Vince Gill's brother was a lifelong drunk or drug addict, whatever. But they were, I guess, pretty close. And so when he died, he wrote this song. You know, some people have substance abuse problems, and that's all that there is to it. Well, this thing is sticking, so let's just go to break. We'll be right back. Kelly O'Connell Show, 523-1450 to call in. And call in, especially if you are supporting that law. We'll have a debate. Be right back.
Felt that when Patty and I sang together, it was very much like the duets that George did with Melba Montgomery. There was an anointing that happened when those two people sang together. And I've always felt that with you, and I always will. And on earth was like those shoes anymore.
Verbal commentators in their natural habitat all my life. No one's above making me stay.
Not too long ago, we were successful in getting Arizona to strike down their license to discriminate law, a bill that many people believed would have allowed for the religious to discriminate against religious minorities, homosexuals, and things like that. That is not law in Arizona, but unfortunately, during all of that and in the wake of it, Mississippi was able to pass a very similar bill, weaker in some areas, but just as strong in the important ones. And so that was Senate Bill 2681. It's the Mississippi Religious Freedom Restoration Act. Oh, my God, that is a fun little exercise in Orwellian language. It would allow businesses and individuals to deny services to anyone.
Kelly here. Good morning to you, 625. All right. Talking about this furor that's going on in Indiana over the NCAAs and the posturing and showboating of these other states saying that they've stopped interacting, they're stopping travel to Indiana because they've passed this law. In the meantime, some of the states that are stopping travel to Indiana have their own Freedom Restoration Act. I mean, it's just absolutely crazy. And it goes into the media cycle. And all you hear about is how, how basically screwed up Indiana is. And where is this coach or where's the head of the NCAAs attacking Connecticut and saying, Connecticut's not traveling to Indiana, but by the way, Connecticut has its own version of this law. It's absolutely ridiculous. And I don't know. I haven't studied the law, but I do know that the law does not mention gays, and it would be a debate that you would have over this to decide whether it was aimed at gays. But I mean, from what the original Freedom Restoration Act is, was to give people the right to express their religious beliefs both positively and negatively. And so if a person was asked to do something that they didn't believe in, then they had a right to not do it. And, I mean, isn't that the essence of America? Wasn't America created as a place of refuge for people who had religious beliefs and that were, looking to have some freedom? And instead, you've got this completely artificially created, this outrage, this uproar over this. And I don't see that it serves the country, because it doesn't really get down to the roots of the debate. All it does is sets up this it sets up this battle in which these different states are fighting to prove which one is the most politically correct. Now, do you believe that political correctness is the way forward for America? A lot of people think that one of the reasons we're struggling is because of political correctness, because it has no standards. I've got a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Ted.
Hey, Ted. Good morning to you. Thanks for calling. Hope you're doing well. And what's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to say that I think the founders of the Constitution were very correct when they said separate church and state, because what it's coming to in this country is what you have to do for one religion, you have to do for all. And if we let one religion have the freedom to dictate how people are supposed to act and dress in, well, we've got to do that for all of them.
What's your application? Ted, what's your application?
Well, I just kind of think that these are the same kind of Bible thumpers that brought us prohibition.
Okay. All right, yeah.
And if you and I went up there, and we probably wouldn't even fit in, you know?
Well, I got you.
You'll never be an insider up there. So
what about this Ted, what about this tension between giving people freedom to express and then giving the other people freedom to I think there's a tension out there. I mean, the number of people that are religious versus the number of people that are gay in the country, it's like 70% of people claim to be Christian. I think it's 3.5% people are gay. But I do understand that we stand for defending minority rights. I think they're important. But it seems to me there's a couple of things that bother me here. It doesn't say anything about gays in the law, number one. Number two, the freaking Connecticut that is boycotting Indiana has its own version of the same law.
Yeah, well, does it have to really mention gays? I mean, you know, I've seen these Southern senators dance around, you know, the semantics of this, that, and you know, what it comes down to really is just discrimination. And I think that you might call me a libertarian or something, yeah, but I just think government ought to stay out of that.
All right, but let me ask you this. How do you define what did you call it? It's not prejudice. It's
discrimination.
How do you define that? Define that word for me.
Well, I mean, you're discriminating one classification of people over another. I think you've been in 1,000 restaurants where they have a sign in the door. We reserve the right to refuse service to anyone. That right's always been around for
right,
a while.
Here,
you gotta,
let me ask you something.
What's behind the word.
Ted, let me ask you something. You're a restaurant owner, and you've got a group of people that come in one day, and they're dressed up as Nazis, you know, and they're like out celebrating Hitler's birthday. Would you give yourself the right to say I would prefer if you guys ate elsewhere?
You know, like I say, those signs have been up forever. We reserve the right to refuse service to anyone. This is about something different. You know, it's always been no shoes, no shirt,
gotcha,
no service. Now I understand, you know, having a sweaty back against your upholstery and all that, but Where did the shoes part come from?
Well, I don't know. I guess they don't want stinky feet when people are trying to eat their pancakes in the next booth. But
well, if they're airing out, they're not stinky.
Well, right.
But anyway, that's a little
Ted,
off the subject.
Ted, let me ask you. Yeah, you're a minister, and a gay couple comes to you and says, "We want you to marry us," and you say, quite honestly and without any guile whatsoever, you say I would prefer not to, and they say ask you why, and it's not part of my beliefs. Is that discrimination?
You know, that I think that's within the pilot house of the religion. That's within religion. Now, let's put it over to the city offices. Now, you go over there for a civil ceremony. Anybody ought to be able to get married. Sure.
But it seems to me it could be an application.
But you go in, into the church. Well, let's take over there at the LDS over at the Mormon Temple there. You got to be a member in good standing to even get into that inner sanctum over there in Salt Lake City. I mean, they do what they want to, and they should. That's why our founders separated church and state.
All right, let me ask you this: you say it's okay for a minister to pass on that. What about the private citizen who owns a bakery, who's a Christian, who doesn't want to provide a wedding cake to a gay wedding, since we're putting it in gay terms?
He's paying taxes. He's in a different classification. The minister's representing the church. Now, you know, the minister's not representing himself. He's part of the church. And the church needs to be separate from the state. And like I say, this is going to come back to bite us. If we buy into this, it's going to come back to bite us.
Because
whatever we do for one religion, we got to do for all. It's coming down to that in this country.
All right. So it's a defense of religion. So, but don't we believe in this country that private citizens have the right to contract with who they prefer to? I mean, let's just say you've got a person who is an Aryan and they don't like black people, and they, you know, they can contract or not contract with who they want. They don't decide to contract with a black person. You could have a black person who doesn't particularly like white people do the same thing. Isn't that private behavior? It might be reprehensible to an open-minded person like you, but isn't that private contracting that's allowed under the Constitution?
I don't think so, because that's one of the protected classes that we have defined a race.
There are protected classes.
You can't discriminate on that base. Like, let's say if I'm going to rent a house to somebody, I can't discriminate against them on that basis.
I got you. Okay, that's interesting. I see there are protected classes, folks, for constitutional consideration when these issues come up. All right, I got to go to break, Ted. Anything else?
Okay, thanks a lot, Kelly. Have a good one. Bye.
Great points. Thank you. All right, folks. That's he's putting it to us. So there is two sides to the story, as with every story. So here's Vince Gill, Patty Loveless, Go Rest High in That Mountain, George Jones. George Jones' funeral. You're not going to hear George Jones singing in the background unless you're psychically very astute here.
Only you could know the pain. Weren't afraid to face the devil. Were no stranger to the man.
We call ourselves the Greenwood Runners.
It is Kelly, and so we're having a debate, and it's over. I guess what Ted is saying is we've got to be careful. We got a separation of church and state, and we got to be careful that we don't mix the two up. Now, I think those are some good points. You don't want the Baptists, for example, coming in and making a law that all kids have to be baptized. But on the other hand, isn't political correctness kind of like a religion in and of itself? And it says that there are A, B, C, and D things that you need to do, and there's 10 other things that you shouldn't do. And so why is what political correctness says is right? And it's had a massive impact. Everybody knows that it's had a massive impact on America. Why do they get to call the shots? Why is what they stand for true and what everybody else stands for has to get in line? You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. I just have a feeling if we continue to go down this political correct road, you see how this stuff plays out. It's just it's absolute circus. This state passes this law, which, by the way, Ted and everybody else, is already a national. It's a federal law. And a number of states that have some more conservative members have passed the law. And isn't that the nature of federalism? Isn't that the nature of America, that the states have their rights too? That they want their rights to be expressed so that religious people can live according to their own beliefs, as long as they're not hurting anybody, and that now other states have to boycott the state that has this law, even though the boycotting state has its own law that is exactly the same. I find this whole thing so crazy. And, you know, so according to Ted, even though being homosexuality isn't mentioned in the law, that's a purpose of it, or maybe one of the main. But let's just say it is one of the purposes of it, to allow, for example, pastors. I guess Ted said that pastor, because he's representing a church, wouldn't have to do a gay marriage. But if you're a private person, you're a floral arranger and such, you don't want to have to do a gay wedding. You have to do it anyway. So, I don't know. I mean, I can see two sides to this thing, but it would seem to me that if, Ted, if you're a libertarian, why not just give some libertarian rights to Indiana? Okay, got a call here. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Aaron, Kelly.
Aaron, yeah, please. Hope you're doing well, and go ahead.
Well, I think you kind of put it on the mark when you said that this political correctness has almost become a religion in and of itself. And I think what the people in Indiana are trying to do is to make sure that the political correctness doesn't get to the point where, they try to basically force people's religious beliefs to be adjusted or changed to suit their political correctness belief. And that's where the fight is, and that's where it's going to stay.
That's where the fat is hitting the fire. So let me ask you this. I mean, they're not really asking people to change their beliefs. They're just saying that you don't have a right to apply your belief in the situation. If you're somebody,
yeah, you don't have a right to express it even.
But I mean, there is a right. Isn't there just an inherent right? You can decide to contract or to do business with whom you. I guess the argument is you can decide that you will or won't have a contract, that you will or won't do business with other people, as long as it's not for the wrong reason, correct?
Correct. I guess the issue, it's like what happened where I was in Oregon, where a Christian couple were baking cakes for weddings, and they, you know, they're Christians, and they didn't want to bake a cake for a gay wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where all this, and then the whole Hobby Lobby thing, you know, they didn't want to be part of the Obamacare mm-hmm. abortion process because it's run by a Christian family. Mm-hmm. And that's where we're at. I mean, I don't know how it's going to pan out in the end, but apparently you can see that the minute a state takes a stand, man, the knives come out.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. This has been around for a long time, this liberalism, it goes forward by consensus, either by real consensus or forced consensus. So it doesn't, they don't bother with arguing. What they do is they try to get public outrage and law. You know, they try to get propaganda going.
They label you a hater. They label you a liar. They label you all kinds of god-awful things. I read an article in yesterday's Sun News, which I was, you know, here we go. Ted Cruz announces his candidacy, and they're attacking him for the way he looks, that he looks evil. I mean, I can't believe we even printed the article. You know, and they're going to attack this guy. Why? Because, one, he's a Christian. Two, he doesn't believe in open borders. I mean, they're just – they're going to savage him.
Yeah.
Not because they want to take have a reasonable argument about his policies.
Yeah.
They're going to attack him personally.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And that's where it's going to continue to go. They did it to Romney. Did you see old Harry Reid yesterday say he wasn't sorry for lying on the Senate floor that Romney had never paid his taxes? He said, well, we won. That's the mentality of the left. The ends justify the means at any cost.
Well,
they'll lie, do whatever.
This thing that the president believes in and a lot of the people around him is trying to remember the name of it. It is a theory that as long as you get from A to Z, it doesn't really matter. It's not progressivism. It's called I'll remember the term, but anyway, they actually believe that. And I mean, let's just put it this way. If you're a secularist, maybe there's no reason not to lie. Maybe, you know, if you're an atheist or whatever.
That puts you right in there with the Islamic fanatics.
Yeah.
They'll lie. They got, you know, if you're not one of them, they morally feel that they have every right to lie.
Yeah, that's
true. And not bargain with you in good faith. And I think the far extreme progressive left feels the exact same way.
I agree. Well, listen, I got to take a break here. Anything else?
No, that's good.
Thanks a lot, Aaron. Have a great day. Good call. All right, folks, let's go into a little, here's a little more Vince Gill for you. Rest high on that mountain, George Jones' funeral. Fly to George. Certainly, he was used to be called No-Show Jones because he would get drunk and then not show up to his concerts. But anyway, we'll be right back. 647-523-1450, Kelly O'Connell Show, KOBE, April 1st.
Cool as high open mouth. On earth is done.
It's Kelly here, and good morning to you, 6:51. Here's some headlines for you. April Fool's, Iran nuclear talks missed deadline. Russia says key aspects are agreed. Bibi Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, blasts talks after Iranian general says Israel's destruction is non-negotiable. You're telling me we're making an agreement with Iran over nuclear material, and they don't have to stop saying they're going to blow up Israel? Are you kidding me? But evidently giving Iran's murderous regime a clear path to the bomb is negotiable. Tehran refuses to give up enriched material. Iranian plane buzzes Navy helicopter paper. Even Chamberlain would not make deal. Obama is eager to finish. Obama advisor worked for pro-Khomeini lobbying group. Saudis are making their own moves in the meantime. Yemen nears total collapse. All right. Big headline, Obama is planning executive order for United Nations on the climate rules. And a few other headlines. Michelle O's healthy lunches were fed to pigs. 5 tons a week in New Mexico. That's what happens when you fiddle it around with the lunch plan. All right. So, and you, you know, food has got to have a little bit of fat and a little bit of sugar and salt to be tasty. Michelle Obama, shame on you. All right. So, this is, well, I'm going to play a little bit of the history of the Religious Freedom Act, I guess, in the next hour, but, do you accept this idea that these states cannot? Well, here, let me play one clip for you. Hate on the rise. Arkansas governor will sign same anti-LGBT religious freedom bill as Indiana.
The bill was not expected to make it through a Senate committee, but Democrat David Burnett voted in favor of the bill after meeting with Governor Asa Hutchinson. I reached out to Burnett, but didn't get a response.
I come home to Arkansas today as a very dark cloud hangs over the state that I love.
Native Arkansan and president of the Human Rights Campaign, Chad Griffin, returned to his home state in hopes of convincing the governor to veto House Bill 1228. The bill would allow businesses to deny service to someone if it violated their religious beliefs.
I'm not a professional speaker. I'm a chef, and we get to hide in the background a lot. I think that we've reached a point where no one can hide in the background any longer.
Chef Matt Bell owns South on Main Restaurant.
My restaurant is open to anyone and everyone. And it makes me a little sad that I live in a state currently that I have to tell you that. All restaurants, all businesses should be open to anyone and everyone.
The group delivered a letter to the governor's office asking him to speak at a conference Tuesday in New York to 300 business leaders, explaining why this bill doesn't close Arkansas to new business.
Kelly, hold on.
He also asked him to veto the bill.
The last version I saw, I would sign.
The governor says the bill is about religious freedom, not discrimination.
All right. We have a caller here. Thanks for the call. Who's this?
Kathy, Kelly.
Hey, Kathy, let's see, one, two. I've got about 1 minute here before I have to go back and do a few more ads, but two is short and sweet.
You know, I would, I want to know the names of the places that don't want to do business with certain groups of people, and I won't go there also. So, you know.
But based on what? Kathy, what if they don't want to do business with Nazis or the Aryan nations? What if they don't want to do business with people?
Well, good for them, because, you know.
You're not boycotting businesses that are discriminatory.
Well, you know, I'm saying if you, as a religious person, don't want a photographer, don't want to take pictures of gay people kissing, you know, fine. That's fine. Put a sign up. We don't want to. You gay people.
No gay kissing within 50 paces. How about that?
Excuse me?
No gay kisses within 50 paces.
Well, you know, on public property, it's a different story. But if you own a private business and you say, I don't want to make a cake, I don't want to do a wedding for gay people, put it out there and let everybody know what a bigot you are. And then go ahead and practice your religious freedom. Last I heard, the religious people in this country have had more freedom over the last 200 years than anybody else, and they've enforced their beliefs on everybody.
Is it time to turn the tables, Kathy?
No, not at all. I don't want the tables turned. I just want you to be upfront. If you don't want to wait on blacks, say we prefer not to, but we will because the law says, you know, you're going to keep a lot of blacks out of there. You're going to keep a lot of gays out if you don't want to do gays. And you're going to inform a lot of people who don't have that bigotry and aren't so super religious that maybe they don't want to eat there either. And if you're a business person willing to do that and cut your clientele, go for it.
All right. Okay. Well, I got to run now. Call back in the next hour and continue your crusade.
Okay.
Thank
bye.
You, Kathy. All right, folks, got to immediately go to break right here.
Looking forward to your tax refund?
Folks, take you out of here with a little more Vince Gill. We'll be back after the break on the hour.
For the Father and Sister, oh, how it cried the day you left.
Good morning, Kelly here, and doesn't look like Ben Rawson's here, so he might be taking the morning off, but I want to thank Rawson's Building Supply for sponsoring the Kelly O'Connell Show, and it's good to buy local. So don't forget to check in with them if you have some needs. Now, I haven't heard anything from the recall people. I don't know how the recall is going, but anyway, I'll let you know when I find anything out. They had not reached their totals for the number of ballot signatures that they needed, and then I was told that they had met the amount for Gil Sorg, and I haven't talked to him since then, to be honest. So anyway, we got a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly, it's Mike.
What's up, Mike?
Hey, Kelly, you know those guys that didn't want to bake a cake for the gay mafia?
Yeah.
I was just wondering if, you know, my dad had about 25 employees in a printing business around the Chicago area.
In a what business?
A printing.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And he had this guy by the name of, you ever heard of this guy by the name of Al Goldstein with Screw Magazine?
Yeah, I remember him.
One of his people came in and they wanted my dad to do some printing for him.
Right.
And my dad refused him. You know, he said, I'm not printing pornography, you know.
He didn't refuse him because he was Jewish.
The guy's not a Jew, Kelly. He's a fake Jew.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's what you call the
synagogue
of Satan.
That's right.
But he's a Khazar. He's a Khazar. But what it is, my dad refused him.
Mike, did your dad say, get out of my shop, you filthy Khazar?
No, very politely, and the guy left.
All right.
But, you know, my dad could have made a ton of money off this guy, you know?
Uh-huh.
But he refused him because my dad was a Christian.
All right.
So, I mean, you don't impose your will on other people. It's like raping a woman or something, you know? If she tells you to stop, you don't keep going. It's like this Harvey Weinstein or Weinstein in New York, and this girl said he groped her.
Well, I mean, you don't know if he groped her or not, but, I mean, here's the thing. Let me ask you this. There's competing interests here. We have a pluralistic society, which means that we have people who believe in more than one idea, and it's interesting because if one group could force another group out, they might try to do it, but because we're pluralistic, we decide to settle our differences in the ballot box privately. We keep our religious views to ourselves to a certain degree, and we are supposed to do stuff through the legislative process, but it seems to me that the PC movement has kind of jumped the shark on that one.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So here's the two competing things. We want in this country people to be able to act in freedom to do their things, whatever they believe in. It's, you know, the old cliche, as long as they don't hurt somebody else in doing it. And that's from John Stuart Mill, his book on liberalism. But on the other hand, we want people to be able to express their beliefs, their religious beliefs, because this country was built was originally founded as a place for people could have religious freedom. So how do you balance those two things off one another?
Well, isn't that John Stuart Mill? Wasn't he a utilitarian or something?
Yes, he was. He certainly was.
Well, you know, it's like the Catholic Church. They're universalists, you know.
No, Mike,
I mean,
Mike,
I don't,
Mike,
I don't believe,
Mike,
you know, Kelly,
Mike,
it's like
Mike,
this.
Mike,
Kelly.
Mike, hold on a second. Don't change the question. How do you balance these two? You know, gay people in this country have a certain number of rights, all right? Christians or religious people have a certain number of rights. How do those two competing rights play against one another?
They don't, because it's like oil and water. I mean, if you're a Christian, you don't believe in homosexuality.
That's not the issue. We live in a pluralistic nation where we have laws that protect more than just Christians.
Well, fine, but don't impose your feelings on me, you know what I mean? I mean, you know, I believe in this, Kelly. You don't complain if you subject yourself to it. If you walk into an establishment and they don't want you there, leave. Period. End of story.
Well, what if they want you to leave because you're black or you're Mexican?
Leave. Why would you want to give your? Why would you want to be somewhere where you're not wanted?
Maybe the food's fantastic.
Tough, but there's plenty of good places to eat. I wouldn't want to be somewhere where I wasn't wanted.
All right. All right. So these laws to
you know what it is? This gay mafia. They're a bunch of shit servers. That's what they are.
Let me know if I'm interrupting you, Mike. But go ahead.
Well, they're troublemakers.
Holy cow! I've never heard that noise before, Mike. I better let you go.
Well,
sounds
that's
like
how
an
I feel.
Are you conducting an exorcism?
The power of Christ compels you.
What was bleeding in the background? Have you picked up a new member of the family?
Kelly, all I have to say is the power of Christ compels you.
Okay. All right, thanks a lot, Mike. Did you hear that shriek? I mean, it sounded like he was doing a little exorcism there. Anyway, Mike's point, don't force your freedom on me. Here we go. Another call. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Yeah, this is Ted again. I just wanted to respond a little bit to what Mike said. You
go
know,
ahead.
When he said, if they don't want your business, just leave. I can't help but think in World War II, where the German POWs down in El Paso were being set down in tables at the El Cortez Hotel, and then our black soldiers had to be fed out of the back door. You know, it's just not like that.
Ted, you called up earlier and said that all of these restaurants have the sign that says we reserve
the right to refuse service to anyone.
So,
yeah, I've seen that a million times.
Ted, you said that that was okay. And I mean, it's still the law of the land, right?
Well, you know, it's just that's what the sign says, but you just can't discriminate on the basis of race and certain other attributes of people.
For the sake of the argument, you got a private business. Can't you sell who you want to? What difference does it make if you don't want to sell to somebody because they don't have any shoes on versus whether they're black, whether they're gay, whether they're Christian or Muslim? Or what difference does it make? It's a private business.
You know, do you really think that it would be right for let's say our New Mexico State Aggies to pull up into a Denny's restaurant while they're on the road playing basketball for our university, and then half the team or more get turned away, refuse service? Do you think that's right? Do you think that ought to go down?
Personally, I think it's wrong, but the question is, what rights do people have as a private contractor, as a private business person?
Well, it's a fine line, and it's constantly changing. You know,
Ted, hold on one second.
Before 1923, 1916, women couldn't even vote in this country.
I understand that.
Go back a little bit farther, you had to be a landowner to vote. Things change.
I understand that, but when things change, are they changing because of popular opinion, or are they changing because of principle?
Well, it's got to be. I think the only document that has been more interpreted more ways than the U.S. Constitution is probably the Bible.
But let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. You're almost saying, you're almost ratifying this idea that the it's a popularity contest. In the country, we've decided now that we're not going to support any state that has any law that could be used against gays. But the reason we're doing that is because it's a popularity contest. To me, that's dangerous because, and it doesn't have anything to do with the gay element. That's just how it's being applied here. But it seems to me if you're running a country off of democratic principles, then what's to stop getting rid of Jewish people if we have another movement against them like they did in Germany? I mean, it was really, and I'm comparing a democracy to a republic.
Let's swap out the word Jewish to Japanese and go back to World War II, where we rounded up a bunch of people on the Pacific Coast and put them on internment camps. You get a dirty bomb in Lower Manhattan, you're going to see all sorts of things that we didn't think we were ever going to do happen in this country.
And I think that day is coming, isn't it?
You know, it could, but some people have to kind of keep their heads and try to strike a balance. We need to survive in this country, and you know, like a lot of people say that it's wrong what the Jewish people are doing. Well, they're down to survival.
Yeah.
I mean, what I'm talking about in Israel.
Yeah, I think it is down to survival. Okay, so you're kind of putting out a kind of a complicated thing here. If the society, how do we make rules? If the society, for example, in Connecticut says that Indiana is not good enough for us to set foot in, and they decide not to go there. I mean, what is that public policy based on?
Well, we've got to shake it out through debate, like what we're doing right now.
I agree.
And the debate is in all parts of society. So I just think that we need to think about all these things and think about that Aggie baseball team, Aggie football team, Aggie girls volleyball team on the road, how we want them received in another state.
It could be Aggie table tennis team in which Asians were excluded.
Perhaps, yeah. You know, it's something that we need to think about in this country, and there are certain things that Trump states rights. You know, during the time when blacks were being kept out of high schools and the high schools were segregated, and George Wallace stood at the door of the high school and said segregation yesterday, segregation forever, with a .38 pistol in his hand.
Shot down himself. But let me ask you this: is every debate on discrimination the same as the race issue? Are they all the same argument?
Absolutely not. Yeah, but this is something we need to think about as society evolves. Do we want to discriminate or protect against a certain class of people?
Or for a certain class of people, have a protected class. Ted, I got to take a break. Anything else?
That's about it. Thanks a lot for giving me the platform.
Absolutely. That's what I'm here
Bye.
For. Thanks. All right, folks. I've got for you some... you want to hear... Well, let's see here for a second. I've got a... All right. How about a crank phone call? This is from Ricky Smiley, a clip called Pit Bull Puppies. They're tricking this lady into thinking her purebred dog has been castrated. Check this out.
Hello?
May I speak to Mamie Godfrey, please?
Oh, this is Mamie.
Good morning. I'm calling from the Martin Animal Hospital.
Oh, good morning. Good.
And you're supposed to come pick your dog up today. He's been neutered.
What did you just say?
Come pick your dog up. He's already been neutered and ready for you to come pick him up.
My dog is not supposed to be neutered. Left him that decent and for them to cut him. What are you talking about?
The papers that I have here, your dog has been neutered.
Are you sure you got the right dog?
You Mamie Godfrey, and you have a champion bred golden retriever.
I know you ain't neutered my dog.
What's the dog's name?
What's my dog's name? Goldie. That's what the dog's name is.
Golden Godfrey on the sheet that we have. Now, you dropped him off for what purpose?
The dog was supposed to be cleaned and have a shot. That's it.
Well, somebody got the papers mixed up and your dog's been neutered.
Are you serious?
Well, I
do you know how much I paid for that dog?
Ma'am, I'm just calling you to tell.
I want you to, if you can't do anything else, if you working, who are you?
I'm just calling you to tell you to come pick up the dog.
Sir, who are you and who told you to call me?
My name is Bernice Jenkins and I'm the receptionist here from Martin Animal Hospital. And the only thing I'm doing is telling you to come pick up the dog.
You need to tell a doctor or the nurse or whomever I need to
speak
to somebody.
I'm
not going to take this out of you.
Well, you need to come pick the dog up.
Sugar, I'm not going to take this out of you because it ain't got nothing.
Well, you need to come pick the dog up today because we closed tomorrow because Dr. Martin died.
If the doctor died, then why didn't somebody come call me and tell me to come get my dog?
Well, that's what I'm calling you for. Hey, baby, you're going to have to stop yelling at me. We already upset that Dr. Martin died. Jeez, I can't believe it. God damn it.
No, wait a minute. Ms. Burness, let me just tell you something. I'm not screaming at you, and because I'm a.
There's so much going on, and all these folks in this paper, all these folks got dogs up here and just need to come pick them up. Just come get the damn dog and take care of it later. We're trying to make you.
Ma'am, I'm very sorry because I'm not upset with you. I'm upset with the nurse or the.
Dr. Martin did it. He dead.
Who's dead?
Dr. Martin dead.
Okay, I am so sorry to hear about Dr. Martin.
Well, I'm sorry to hear about your dog. Well, what you want me to do? You want me to tie the dog up outside?
Tie my dog. Are you crazy?
There was a case at the Supreme Court involving the use of peyote by Native Americans. And there was a case at the Supreme
Court. It's Kelly here, and I was just looking at some clips on the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And this is from a YouTube channel called Baptist Joint Committee for Religious Liberty. And so something I want to throw out to you here, and this is an indisputable historical fact, and this is at 7:26 on KOB, Kelly O'Connell, 523, 1450. It's an undisputable historical fact that most of what we regard as freedom and liberty in this country, in the West, or virtually all of it, comes out of some sort of a Christian argument for giving people more freedom. And I call it Christian because it is coming out of not just a society that was Christian, but more specifically biblical arguments or arguments that are coming out of people that are deeply rooted in Christianity or whatever. So, you know, liberty doesn't come out of Islam. Most people know that. Doesn't come out of Hinduism or anything like that. So trying to think of an example for you, there's, you know, positive and negative rights. You have, for example, as a positive right, free speech. As I guess a negative right would be the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution, the right to not say anything. And hold on a second. We got a call here. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Tony.
Tony, yeah. Good morning to you. Hope you're doing well. And what's on your mind?
Hey, this whole issue on this Indiana bill law.
Yeah.
On it's not anti-gay. People are misconstruing this. For me, the way I look at it is people just do not want to, I guess, confirm gay marriage. They're saying they won't take photograph of a gay wedding, won't make cakes for gay weddings. They're not saying that they won't make a cake for a gay person. And that's why I think all this is being misconstrued. Of course, liberals will always misconstrue everything that they don't agree with.
All right. So here's the question, though. I mean, people who are into civil liberties and gay people in particular, but liberals in general are reacting to the idea that that's really a cloak to discriminate against gays and gay behavior. What's your response to that?
But it's not. Of course they're going to make that argument, but it's a gay marriage issue. I'm not a religious person per se, but I personally don't believe in gay marriage, but I have a gay uncle, a gay nephew, which is fine. But I don't think gay, I think marriage is for a man and a woman, personally. And that's from no religious belief. It might be, but it's just the way I believe. I'm a happily married man with a woman and have been for 30 years. And I just was raised, this is the way marriage is meant to be.
Well, are you religious?
No, I was baptized Orthodox, but
Orthodox what?
I believe in a higher being, but I don't believe in organized. I personally don't believe in organized religion at all.
Do you believe in, therefore, disorganized religion?
Pretty much, yeah.
All right.
No, I just believe somebody's in control of everything. Some higher being is in control.
All right. So I guess you're a deist then, but all right. So.
But I don't believe in, like, Catholicism or Islam. I just think some religions are just hypocritical and dangerous.
All right. So, but getting back to the argument at hand, I wonder how many people in this country who would not categorize themselves as religious would still like this religious law or this law where people's religious beliefs are defended.
You know, I'm somewhere along the lines with Mikey where he said, if you don't like the way this business is run, if you go in there and they say, well, I don't like the way you look, well, leave. I do believe in that. Just leave. If you don't want me in without a shirt, fine. I won't come here. It's in a way, you know, and I don't go to clubs that or bars where they have ladies' nights because to me that's discriminatory. You're making a man pay to get into a place, but women get in free. So what's the difference there between telling somebody, hey, you're gay, I don't want to make a cake for you because you're getting married?
It seems to me that those laws are taking it to another step because you're forcing people to do things. You're forcing private citizens to do things that they don't want to in the name of freedom.
Exactly. Exactly. If I don't want to bake a cake, I'm a private business. If I don't want to bake a cake for you or take pictures of you because you're getting married and you're gay, and it's against everything I was ever raised to believe, I shouldn't have to do it and take your business somewhere else.
Yeah. What I don't understand, it makes me feel like some of these situations are setups. If you're two gay women you come to a baker and the baker said, and that you please make us a cake for a wedding. And the baker says, I really don't want to. I don't believe in gay marriage. Why would you therefore want to force that person to bake you a cake? And in addition to that, when they didn't do it, sue them. That's a part I don't get, you know. It's a setup to bring the issue to court.
Yes, it is. It's to bring an issue to court, and it's to force your will. Again, liberals love to force their will and their agenda on people. They are the most intolerant. I find gays to be, and lesbians, that whole organization, to be some of the most intolerant people there are.
Well, I think there's a couple of different types of gays, and you've got to be careful. There's a lot of gay people that I've known some, and I honestly, I have some gay friends we don't talk about these type of issues. We would tend to set them aside, but there's advocates. There's a small group of advocates, and then there's a larger group of gay people that just want to be left alone. But there's this small group of advocates that are out there fighting for this stuff, you know?
Yes, and trying to change the way America feels and thinks about this issue, and they're shoving it down everybody's throat, mm-hmm. which just makes people more angry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and also, I wanted to talk about, real quick, I just wanted to mention, how do you feel about what's going on in California with that issue of the high school kids who wore American flag shirts on Cinco de Mayo, and the Supreme Court wouldn't hear the arguments on that? They upheld the Ninth Circuit Court's appeal that the school had a right to tell the kids to take their shirts off or suspend them because it would have caused violence.
Well, I mean, there's a couple of, once again, competing interests there. But, I mean, if you did wear a shirt to school that caused a riot, then the school probably has an obligation to keep a riot from happening. On the other hand, we believe that everyone has freedom of speech. The question is, does a person have freedom of speech, underage person have a freedom of speech in that setting? I don't know. I'd have to sit down and kind of work through it. But, yeah, I mean, I'm in favor of free speech. So,
I guess my whole point is, since when is the American flag something that we should just keep out of anything?
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, I didn't catch that. I thought it was a slogan. I was trying to multitask here. I didn't know it was an American flag. I mean, I'm for the American flag being displayed at all times in America, and it infuriates me when I hear they want the flag taken down. Anyway, got to go to break, so thanks a lot for the call. Have a good day. Hey, folks, when you call in, don't have your radio up because it makes an echo. All right, I will be back and have a little bit of New Mexico news for you. 523-1450 to call in at 734. We'll be right back. Kelly O'Connell Show on April 1st. Vince Gill here. Whenever you come around. Here we go.
Face of an angel. Pretty eyes that shine. Lie awake at night, wishing you were mine.
Kelly here, and all right, we've got a debate going on here about the background of this thing in Indiana is we're living in a pluralistic society, meaning that plural many, e pluribus unum, out of the many come one. We're founded on pluralism, so that meant that there had to be freedom. There would either be a tyranny or there'd be freedom, and so the freedom comes in and allows different religions to exist, and it allows freedom of conscience too. You don't have to be religious to have freedom to express your beliefs or whatever. And that's one of the things that I would say here. Why do we have to have a law in which people use that law to defend their expression of freedom? Why isn't there freedom for everybody's beliefs as long as it doesn't harm somebody else? Now then there's the argument. does a law that allows a person to not bake a cake for a gay marriage, does that harm the gay people? And, you know, it depends on how you define harm. I mean, if it's the only baker in the entire area, maybe it would harm him. But, I think that more freedom for people to express what they believe is the direction we need to go in. You know, to force somebody to bake a cake for somebody else against their will, that just doesn't seem American, does it? All right, here is, speaking of, just played that comedy clip. Here is a from Santa Fe, New Mexico man arrested for throwing banana peel at Dave Chappelle. If you can't throw a banana peel at somebody during a comedy concert, what's this country coming to? This ad from KOAT.
Some evacuations. A comedy show in Santa Fe is making news around the world today. Dave Chappelle is performing there when he became the victim of what's being called a racist attack from someone in the audience, and it's all over social media today. Action 7 News reporter Aaron Hill spoke to someone who was shocked by what he saw at that show.
Comedian Dave Chappelle performed two sold-out shows at Santa Fe's Lenzic Theater Monday night, but it's not Chappelle's comedy that has people talking.
A guy stood up and he sidearms a banana at Chappelle.
The website Albuquerque Newscast captured an audio recording after it happened.
Hey, who just threw a banana peel? Hey, would you guys like to see your favorite comedian beat the shit out of somebody?
Josh Rivera was at the 9 o'clock show and says the message was clear.
Oh, I mean, the guy was being racist.
Santa Fe police say 30-year-old Christian Englander admitted to throwing the banana peel. Police say Englander bought a banana on his way to the show. He ate it while standing in line and saved the peel. Then he told police he didn't appreciate some of the jokes Chappelle was making toward his friend in the audience, so he threw the peel at the popular comedian.
Mr. Chappelle told the officers that he felt this incident was racially motivated.
He made a joke about how it was definitely assault. He wanted to stretch it out. It was a hate crime.
Farrah says Chappelle kept performing.
I can't believe not only that someone threw a banana on stage, I can't believe that they had a banana on
it. Oh, yeah, it was great. Before all that, it was hilarious. Even after that, it was still really funny.
Police say Englander appeared to be drunk. He is charged with battery and disorderly conduct. Investigators will decide later if it was indeed a hate crime. In Santa Fe, Aaron Hill, KOAT Action 7 News.
And Action 7 News sports director Orlando Sanchez was also at that show. He called the incident surprising and embarrassing.
It's a comedy show. Surprising and embarrassing? All right, so how do they know that this is a racist attack? That's what I'd like to know. New Mexico Commission rescinds sweeping fracking bill. The most sweeping and controversial anti-fracking ordinance in the country is off the books. And this is from Fox News in a 3-0 vote. Friday, Moore County Commissioners in northern New Mexico repealed a self-described community rights ordinance passed in 2013. And so I guess they're not as anti-fracking as they used to be. All right. Here, New Mexico governor criticizes Senate Dems for killing key bills. Susana Martinez was disappointed this year, and she said at a real estate luncheon, a multimillion-dollar measure that would have funded public work projects around the state was approved in the Senate without input from the House. She called that, quote, unprecedented. The capital outlay bill failed in the waning minutes, in the last minutes of the 11th hour of the 60-day session. All right, so... here is New Mexico wins federal education waiver. Governor Martinez says federal government's decision to extend New Mexico's waiver from No Child Left Behind forms implemented by her administration. U.S. Education Secretary Arne Duncan announced Tuesday that New Mexico and four other states have received four-year renewals. Very nice. No children therefore shall be left behind. New Mexico governor signs child prostitution crackdown bill. So Susana Martinez signed three public safety bills last Tuesday, including one yesterday, that cracks down on those who seek or to sell or solicit children for sex. And she said, quote, it has been my calling first as a district attorney, now as a governor, to stand up for those who do not have a voice of their own. And measure sponsored by David Gallegos, Republican Eunice, fixes what the governor's office had called a glaring loophole in the state law, since there had been no prostitution penalty for such offenses involving children younger than 13. Wow. Shocking. A missing Missouri girl found safe in New Mexico. 13-year-old Missouri girl who was allegedly abducted Sunday and to whom they did an Amber Alert was found safe in New Mexico just east of Moriarty. Found with Raymond Vala, 55, who Missouri Highway Patrol and Henry County Sheriff's Office said Kenish would likely be with him. And they were found at a traffic stop and must have met over the internet, huh? All right, so let's take a little break here. Oh, and by the way, Susanna Martinez says she's in the dark about Cruz, Senator Ted Cruz, and she has no opinion of his recent statements. She's got to do some more research. All right, so here is a little more Vince Gill. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 at 745 on KOBE, April 1st.
Standing here holding the biggest heartache in town. Whenever you come around.
All right, it's Kelly here, and I want to get back to a little bit on Religious Freedom Restoration Act. I think it's important, number one, because it's passed in federal law and it's still federal law. They challenged it being applied to states. It's not applied to states, but it's still applied to the federal government. And now we've got like 20 different states that have passed their own version of it. And the upshot on that is that these states are exercising their rights, and then other states are attacking the during the NCAA finals, they're attacking these, you know, like Indiana for having it, and the state, Connecticut, that is attacking it has their own freedom. It's just freedom. And we got another call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
It's Aaron again, Kelly.
Yes, round two. On this law,
the one thing I heard that the difference was is that the Indiana law applied it to businesses and corporate entities, things of that nature, while the original federal law, I believe, applied to individuals. So I don't know if that's a really important distinction. It seems to be. So,
well, that's what undoubtedly they're trying to get situations where, say, florists and bakers don't have to be forced into baking cakes, making floral arrangements for gay wedding ceremonies. But, you know, it could be any number of different things. It could be a Nazi wedding ceremony. I mean, maybe the florist is feels equally strongly about Arianism, you know?
Yeah, I mean, rather than refusing to bake a cake, just bake a bad cake.
Poison them. You can make a chocolate Ex-Lax cake. You can ruin the reception by putting Ex-Lax in the cake.
One of your previous callers suggested that somebody hang a banner or a sign up. You know, won't make wedding cakes for gay or lesbian weddings. I don't know if that's necessary.
Well,
but
that's like a scarlet letter.
You'd have the right not to.
That's like a scarlet letter on somebody's forehead. I don't know. I mean, I think more freedom is better than less freedom. If you're using the law to force people to do things that they really don't want to and don't believe in, is that a proper use of the law?
Well, let me ask you this. You know, a lot of people believe that that homosexuality is not is an act. The choice,
right?
As opposed to being racist, which is not an act or a choice.
Sure, two different
where
categories.
Where a person is born, you know, born black, born Hispanic, whatever it may be, and that, you know, the difference is that you're making a decision based on somebody else's choice.
All right, fair enough.
So, you know, why should I be forced to do something for somebody that's making a choice that I strongly disagree with?
That's the argument right there.
Yeah, I mean, but is it in federal law? Do you know
is homosexuality protected under federal law?
Well,
what's the Civil Rights Act? Is it in there?
No, but I mean it's there. What Ted had mentioned is this: there is protected classes under the Constitution, and so I think homosexuality is the mid-level. It wouldn't rise to the level of gender or race, but I'll do some research and comment on that tomorrow. But I think it's mid-level, but it seems like it's being raised up to the highest level of protection in a lot of these cases. It's being treated. I mean, there's nothing that is trending more, I think, right now in the last couple of years than the gay movement and their rights and everything. So it's kind of interesting to see how it impacts the law.
Right, and it'll also be interesting to see what's the next idea that gets pushed.
Indeed, we'll have to wait until the future reveals this. I gotta take I don't have to take a break, but I wanted to play a clip under the Religious Freedom Act. So, Aaron, was there anything else?
Nope, that's it.
Thanks a lot, man.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye. All right, folks, check this out. Here is Oliver Buzz Thomas. Used to be a cartoon figure, but here's the Religious Freedom Restoration Act from the Baptists.
There was a case at the Supreme Court involving the use of peyote by Native Americans, and the newspapers really missed the main story behind the story, which was the court said that they could not do this, that using peyote was illegal even if it were Native Americans, and they therefore couldn't get unemployment compensation benefits when they were fired from their job. And that, as I've said before, that didn't pass the Bubba test. But, you know, the average American hears that story and ho-hum, and they change channels on their television. But what people didn't realize was that in the context of deciding the case, the Supreme Court changed the rules for everybody so that no one's religious liberty was protected anymore, not just Native Americans. They basically took the old protection that was in the law for religious liberty and dumbed it down to equal protection for everybody. So if your religion was burdened after this case, you couldn't even go to court and come. So let's just say you had an Orthodox Jewish kid at a public school who needed to wear his yarmulke to school because God requires it. If the school had a policy that said nobody can wear caps to school, he couldn't even complain about it, even though, we know a yarmulke is different from a baseball cap. So the landscape changed for everybody overnight. And nobody realized it because the press missed the story. The religious community, of course, figured it out pretty quickly. I remember going in my office here at the Baptist Joint Committee, picking up the phone and calling Mark Stern, a very prominent Jewish attorney that also worked on religious liberty cases and still does. And I said, Mark, have you read the Smith opinion? And he said, yes, I have. I said, are you as worried about it as I am? He said, yes, I am. And so we got on the phone with Doug Laycock, who at that time was the University of Michigan Law School, and some other experts in the field, and we all went to New York together and sat down in the office of Dean Kelly, who was the old head of religious liberty for the National Council of Churches, and sat around a big conference table up there to try to figure out what can we do to address this problem, and we came up with the idea of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And once we decided how we were going to move forward, the religious community, the word spread like wildfire. And Brent Walker, who, of course, is the director of the BJC, now he and I were the two attorneys here. And we essentially led that coalition, and it was everybody from the Christian Coalition and Concerned Women for America and National Association of Evangelicals to People for the American Way and the American Civil Liberties Union, everybody in between, Sikhs and Muslims and Baha'is and Buddhists and Native Americans and you name it. So we had to be very respectful of all those differences. And the BJC had developed a reputation for being a trustworthy broker of these kinds of efforts. The Baptist Joint Committee had brought together people around equal access and had actually drafted the guidelines for the equal access legislation. And people had come to respect the agency's integrity and credibility with groups on the right and the left. We couldn't have done this without the support of President Clinton, but it wasn't just Democrats. I mean, our lead Republican sponsor in the Senate was Orrin Hatch, and over on the House side, Newt Gingrich was one of our sponsors. So Well, we really had them all, and we got a great unanimous vote out of the House of Representatives, a 97-3 vote out of the Senate. So,
all right, so that's the history of that. Here's a little bit from Dinesh D'Souza on this law.
Left-wing pundits have been especially outraged by the passage of this new Indiana law. Now, we shouldn't be surprised. Now, MSNBC host Al Sharpton, he's been leading the charge on this. Watch this.
This is a key moment for the...
Just before we get into this, I just read an analysis of Connecticut's law. Connecticut is the one who says they won't allow their coach to go and coach in the Final Four in Indiana. And the religious law in Connecticut is worse, it's stronger than Indiana. So who are they to protest? Anyway, here's Al Sharpton.
Country. Too often in our history, we've seen religion used to justify attacks on other people's rights, from slavery to Jim Crow to women's right to vote. That same fight is with us today, and we can't let it stand.
Now, let's also go back to 1993. This is at the signing ceremony when Bill Clinton signed this bill into law, federal law, back in 1993. Watch this.
We are a people of faith. We have been so secure in that faith that we have enshrined in our Constitution protections for people who profess no faith. And good for us, we're doing so. That is what the First Amendment is all about. But let us never believe that the freedom of religion imposes on any of us some responsibility to run from our convictions. Let us instead respect one another's faiths, fight to the death to preserve the right of every American to practice whatever convictions he or she has, but bring our values back to the table of American discourse to heal our troubled land.
Hey, you know, brilliant speech. So who can argue with that? So now we're in a position where we're using the law to force people to do things that go against their religion in the name of liberty or the liberty of some people. It is an interesting time. The reason this stuff is being brought into the media and fought over is the stakes are pretty high. So, you know, well, anyway, I appreciate you tuning in. I thought Ben Rossin was showing up. I thought my brother was going to call in. But that's the nature of live radio, friends. People sometimes let you down, and you have to keep rolling with the punches. So anyway, I enjoyed today's show. I've got a little bit of – somebody told me they love the live piano except for Elton John. Well, Elton John's got this song kind of defending people called Border Song. So take you out with some live piano Border Song. Kelly O'Connell, have a great day. Ciao.